Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts. This is RS1, part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
A very good morning from the Red Bull Ring in Austria for day two of the Porsche Carrera Cup Benelux. An incredible race yesterday with so much happening. Overtakes from start to finish pretty much in the 30-minute race yesterday evening. And it's been a quick turnaround for these cars as well. They were out on track as late as 6 o'clock last night. A bit of refueling, a bit of possible crash damage to be fixed, although thankfully there wasn't a great deal of that, and the cars have gridded up again for an early start this morning. Just ticked past 9:40 local time, and this race is scheduled for a 9:45 start. So very, very shortly, with the grid being cleared as I speak, the cars will be sent out onto their installation lap, their green flag lap, and then gridded back up again, because unlike all the other categories on show this weekend at the Red Bull Ring, this will be a standing start. And just ask Xavier Masson about how tricky that can be at times, because yesterday he qualified the car on the front row, close to the concrete wall on driver's right on that front row, but couldn't get the car away. And everybody else behind on the grid did so well to avoid the Dutchman in car number 9. Well, the qualifying from second fastest times to determine today's grid is actually very similar to yesterday in the order. I will give you the grid just as soon as the cars are released onto their green flag lap. My name's Johnny Palmer, delighted to be part of the Porsche Carrera Cup Benelux coverage for this weekend in support of the European Le Mans Series and the 4 hours of Red Bull Ring, which is the main course later on at 11 o'clock today. And if you've never witnessed ELMS racing, I would strongly urge you right after this Porsche Carrera Cup Benelux race to have a little break for 45 minutes or so and then join us for the build-up for the 4 hours, the second round of the ELMS season. This will be race four of the season as part of round two of the Porsche Carrera Cup Benelux. The season starting off at Spa-Francorchamps, again in the support of an ACO Rules Championship, the World Endurance Championship, in fact, on the classic Grand Prix circuit at Spa, the 7 kilometres worth. It's a slightly shorter track this weekend, but no shortage of gradient change at the Red Bull Ring. 4.3 kilometres around here, with only 10 corners, but each of them represents a unique challenge, because there's no corner quite like the other around here. And certainly the first few corners are very tricky to master indeed. You've got that uphill run as well to turn 3. Glenn Van Parijs, with his second pole position of the weekend, will start alongside Xavier Masson. He'll be hoping for a much better start in the Team PGZ by Red Ant Racing car. Oep van Amdoven comes next alongside yesterday's winner, Harry King. And then it's Sebastian Vreemoot and Dylan Dedala, who had a really good race yesterday, with the man who starts right behind him, Stefan Van Rij, together with Austrian driver at his home race, Felix Neuhofer, in the PG Motorsport car, number 33, who starts in 8th place. Yesterday's AM category winner, Jan Lorentzen, starts in 9th position in the 54 car. Then it's Thierry Vermeulen, who was on course for a podium for most of yesterday's 30-minute race, but then the car fell away and he ended up, I think, finishing 12th in the number 69 machine. Not entirely sure what the issue was there for Vermeulen, but he'll be hoping for better fortunes on Sunday morning. Guylain Cordiel, also for the Team GP Elite crew, alongside Nicolas Saarlens, who won the Pro-Am category yesterday. He will start from Pro-Am pole today. Floris Dulaert, Ziad Geris and Nicolas van Derendonk, who starts in 15th position. Philippe Tuenkens in the 55 car is 16th, ahead of Wim Mulders, André Mukavos for the Duvo Racing Team of Luxembourg, Ad Hertz and Dominic Bastian represent an all-AM 10th row. And they are cars numbers 11 and 21 to look out for towards the rear of the field. Brand new Porsche Carrera Cup car on display. There's an indication of the circuit that we're running, though, this weekend. So you head through the Niki Lauda Curva at turn 1, up through the kink at 2, and then arrive at that very tough right-hander at the top of the hill at turn 3, where you're having to slow the car, but with steep gradient. And it's very easy to miss the apex there and allow the car to understeer a touch wide. That's the reason why we see a lot of mistakes at turn 3. But it's crucial to get a good slingshot out of that right-hander where possible, because you really do need a very good top speed across the top of the circuit to determine a good lap time. So three down to four and into Rauch corner, crucial to the opening lap really. And then you head through turns five, the arcing right-hander, which is labelled as a corner on the track, but you're still pulling, accelerating through there. The double left-hander at six and seven, kink at eight, and then into the Jochen Rindt curve at turn nine, and finally through a tough turn 10, because it dips right in the middle, and you feel your stomach end up in your mouth through that bit of the track. But again, a drag race out of there is all important to a healthy lap time. So pretty much bang on time at 9.45. I was just about to mention the brand new generation of Porsche Carrera Cup car in use in this race, the 992 with its 510 brake horsepower. There's a new double wishbone suspension system utilised on this car as well, with the Brembo brakes and the specifically designed Michelin tyre, the N3, which has been turned out by the French manufacturer purely for this championship. Five red lights are on the gantry for the second time this weekend at Red Bull Ring. We're racing in the Porsche Carrera Cup Benelux. It's a good start from Sebastian Freimuth in the blue and yellow car, but also getting away well as Harry King darts from one side of the road to the other. He's the pole man, Glenn Van Parijs, as at least two or three go wide coming out of the Niki Lauda curve. Saw that a number of times yesterday as well. Brakes are cold, tyres are cold as well, but Harry King has moved already from fourth position up to second and is starting to set off in chase of the race leader, who is Glenn Van Parijs for NGT Racing. More cars locking up. Oh, and a spin for Freimuth. It was far from the ideal end of the race yesterday for Sebastian Freimuth in the 31 car, and he has rotated at turn number three, as Javier Masson today did get away well, and he's already having to go door handle to door handle with Dylan Dadala in the 99 orange and black car. Dadala goes up the inside of the Dutchman there, so Belgian racer up to third, and now can he take the fight to Harry King, who runs second, and Glenn Van Parijs, who leads the motor race. So it's NGT number 15 out front from the Parker Revs Motorsport prepared car for Harry King, last year's Porsche Carrera Cup Great Britain champion, and guesting this weekend at Red Bull Ring, so therefore not scoring championship points. Third position, Dylan Dadala, who was locking horns, if you pardon the pun, with the bull in the background, the Red Bull Ring, of course. But yeah, side by side for Dadala and Freimuth for pretty much the whole of yesterday's race. They were inseparable. Well, this time Dylan Dadala's got a much better start. He's up to third position and runs ahead of Javier Masson. Oep van Eindhoven, who finished on the podium yesterday, is fifth ahead of Stefan Van Rij in the number 72 car. Now, I just noticed that the Saarland's car is under investigation. Now, let's just have a look. Nicholas Saarland's down in 13th position under investigation, as here comes Harry King for the race lead. He got a really good exit out of turn number one. They're side by side through two, but he has the crucial inside line into three, and the 17 car for the moment will go ahead. Now, will Harry King be able to open up a bit of a gap as he did yesterday, winning the race by the flag by 2.5 seconds? I'm not sure whether Glenn Van Parijs is going to be as much of a pushover as he was yesterday, though. Van Parijs had the opportunity to follow Harry King for several laps in the first race of the weekend and will know his driving style. And the toe is so crucial around here. If he can stick with the Brit, then maybe there's an opportunity for the 15 car to get it back in front. Although, bear in mind, Glenn Van Parijs's priority is to score main championship points, and Harry does not do that. So there'll still be maximum points going the way of Van Parijs, even if the 17 car scampers away into the distance. There was a little bit of dust caught by the 15 car, I noticed, on the approach to turn seven. That did not help his run through the next sequence of corners, as 3 minutes have elapsed already. And another car that is in slightly a false position, Thierry Vermeulen in the team GP Elite car, number 13, and he goes wide at the penultimate corner. So Vermeulen running out of brakes, maybe, or an issue with the tyres early on. His car was very much at the pace yesterday, but seemed to fade at about two-thirds distance, as now Sebastian Freimuth wants to go three abreast and should get the overlap on a couple of cars there. So Freimuth up the inside in the braking area for turn number one and backs himself two places following that spin at turn three on the first lap. So that was Philip Duinkens and Thierry Vermeulen that he's just got by. Duinkens in the bright orange car. and the meat in the sandwich, but amazingly they all found space for one another as they reached the end of the start-finish straight. Also a good dice between Andre Mukovoz for the Duvo Racing crew, number 22, and Wim Mulders in the Speed Lover car, which is number 20. Now, Mulders is running in AM, whereas the Duvo car of Mukovoz runs in Pro-AM, but you try telling them that they're not in the same class as from a long, long way back. Wim Mulders, who didn't finish the race yesterday, although did still score a result as second place in the AM category, giving Mukovoz a bit of a squeeze there heading through turn five, but they were able to come out of that corner all in one piece. And very shortly indeed, Mukovoz is going to be joined by this Sebastian Freimuth and the 55 car of Philip Tönkens for Q1 track racing by EMG Motorsport. Very serenely out front, though, for a Sunday morning drive is Harry King. He has managed to build a gap of nearly a second over Glenn Van Parijs, and Van Parijs will be more concerned about Dylan Dadala now in the rear view mirror and how close that number 99 car is getting in third position. Xavier Masson for team PGZ in his number 9 car, there or thereabouts. There's still a chance that Masson will make the podium, and that's a heck of a lot better than yesterday's race after he stalled at the start of it. Philip Tönkens really close as he hits the brakes. There's more problems for Thierry Vermeulen, because Vermeulen's come in the pits at the end of lap number 3. Clearly not was all was not well with the 69 car, and another white machine not going too well, running out wide there at the first corner. So the start cleaner than yesterday. Sebastian Freimuth seemed to get a much better getaway than Oop van Eindhoven, who was just ahead of him in the green car, and Freimuth right in the middle of the pack, as Glenn Van Parijs got a killer start, but so did Harry King from fourth position. And fourth place, unusually on this grid, is actually gives you the inside line for the first corner, whereas normally pole position would be on driver's right. But there's more rubber going down through the weekend on the left side as Freimuth then spins, maybe given a bit of a helping hand, but also cold Michelin tyres and cold brakes will not have helped the recovery of that moment. And because the engine sits fairly rearward in these cars, although less towards the rear than the previous gen of Cup car, interestingly. So one or two drivers say the balance is even better now in these Cup cars because of the rearrangement. But that, I'm afraid, is not a happy 69 Gen 992 car, because it is overheating massively. So that's a cooling issue, maybe a stone through the radiator, which has meant that the engine temperature has gone sky high, but steam issuing from the front of the car where all the cooling system is positioned in a Porsche Cup car. Heading up the hill, Dylan Dadala under pressure from Xavier Masson. Then there's a bit of a gap back to the green car of Oop van Eindhoven. Stefan Van Rey in the 72 car comes next for GP Elite. And then Felix Neuhofer, who was born in Munich but is Austrian by nationality and therefore thoroughly enjoying an away day for the Porsche Carrera Benelux Championship. They tend to have two meetings a season that are outside Belgium, the Netherlands and Luxembourg, and this of course is one of them. So Felix Neuhofer no doubt has brought family and friends with him. Oh, a spin for Philip Tönkens coming out of turn one, and he caught the barrier as well with the rear of the car. Let's hope not too much damage has been done with the heavily reprofiled rear of these new Porsche Cup cars, making them look very smart indeed. I do like the contours of the new car, which is exploding into this single mate series around the world, actually. But the Benelux Championship's been running for many seasons now, and it can very easily fall beneath the radar when you've got the magnitude of Porsche Carrera Cup, Deutschland, France, Great Britain, Italy. But Benelux has been such a major supporter of Porsche one-mate racing, and with the live stream publicity, exposure this season, I hope we can get a few more fans on board throughout the course of this year as well. Because there's some real driving talent within the championship. Now the 31 car of Sebastian Freimuth still trying to recover. Up the inside of Nicolas van Dierendonk he goes there and gets 13th position as a result. Van Dierendonk with Wim Mulders behind him and Andre Mukovoz just been overtaken. And Xavier Masson now with a very good run on Dylan Dadala. That was coming out of turn three, and the Dutchman has the crucial inside line as they head down the hill into Rauch corner, so we'll be able to take this position there, which is third place from Dylan Dadala. and the orange and black car, and Huub van Eindhoven really not very far away in the 10 as well. Steven van Rey right at the back of the queue as well. So four cars dueling it out for third position. The black PGZ car leading the way as Glenn van Parijs is a clear second place runner, and Harry King almost 2 seconds away from that now. Dylan Dalala has a little look at the inside into the right-hander at Jochen Rindt Curver, but there's no opportunity to get through there. And a faint gap now appearing between Dalala and the next car, number 10. But as soon as Huub van Eindhoven is able to get into the toe properly for Dylan Dalala, he may be able to get the slingshot, get the draft up the hill, or more crucially out of 3 and 4 to maybe cause problems for Dylan Dalala. Way in the distance is Harry King, starting the ascent again to turn number 3. Then Glenn van Parijs, a little bit on his own. We're quite rightly focusing on the 3rd, 4th, 5th and 6th place scrap, though. And there's another car as well, not very far away. That is Felix Neuhofer, the much-talked-about Austrian. 5 maybe for third position very shortly. The multicoloured car of Neuhofer is definitely within touching distance. 10 minutes gone of this 30-minute race. Beautiful day here in Austria in the Styrian Mountains for round 2, race 4 of the 2021 Porsche Carrera Cup. Benelux and the 72 car of Stefan van Rey coming out of turn 4 now and down the hill, starting to apply the pressure to the PGZ by JW Race Services. Huub van Eindhoven in another green car to match the very green scenery here. There's been a fair bit of rain over the weekend, but thankfully a dry start to Sunday. Some rain expected later on for the big ELMS race, maybe right in the middle of it, which could throw strategy right out of the window. Over the rise into Jochen Rindt Curver comes Javier Massen in third position, ahead of Dylan Dalala, Huub van Eindhoven and Stefan van Rey, with Felix Neuhofer looking to attach himself onto the back of this battle for the final podium slot. Guylaine Cordiel, 8th place, but he's got about 3.5 seconds to make up if he wants to be part of this steadily increasing freight train. From a long way back, Wim Mulders. Now, did he make Rauch corner to slot up the inside there of Nicolas van Tierendonk? Well, he did make the corner, but he had to run out wide as a result, and that gave the position back to van Tierendonk in the Q1 track racing car, running in Pro-Am. As very wide, there goes Dylan Dalala. Oh, and he's almost spinning. He is spinning into the barrier. He goes. Marshals have to step back in avoidance. And that quite possibly has done damage to the radiator as well, because the rad sits just behind the front bumper for Dylan Dalala. He's going to have to be very careful as he rejoins the motor race as well. Thankfully, found the brake pedal just in time. But Dylan Dalala, having run far too deep into turn 3, was then out in the dirt on that runoff section at turn 3. And as he rejoined, the back of the car swung round and he tagged the Armco barrier to driver's left. He was about to run in the back of Xavier Massen, I think, so had to dart to the left, then went high and wide onto the slightly higher friction tarmac, but caught some gravel and caught the grass, and that really unsettled the car, because there's a drop there from the runoff section back to the hard standing, and the car didn't like it and pitched him left and into the barrier. And Dylan Dalala's race, I'm afraid, has been ruined because of a very small mistake indeed into turn 3. No such fortunes for Harry King, though. Almost at half distance of this second race of the weekend for the Benelux Championship. And that has left a change as far as the podium positions are concerned. Glenn van Parijs still second, of course, but Xavier Massen given slightly more peace now, with Huub van Eindhoven at a manageable 1.6-second difference between the third-place car and van Eindhoven, who occupies fourth. Then Stephen van Rey in the fifth-place car, Felix Neuhofer's sixth, Guylaine Cordiel seventh in car number 2, another machine entered by Team GP Elite. I was about to run through the classes for you, because remember, it's three-tiered in the Benelux these days. You either run in Pro-Am or the AM category. There's no difference in specification of the car, apart from in AM, where ABS is permitted. So the AM drivers do have a bit of braking assistance, but Felix Neuhofer does not. And coming out of the corner, he caught the stones and the dirt, and the rear end thought about flicking round entirely on the Austrian driver. He caught hold of that superbly well. It's lost him a bit of ground, but he's still there in sixth spot behind Huub van Eindhoven and Stefan van Rey. Through the kink at turn 8, Meanwhile, the race leader, Harry King, is already at the Jochen-Rindt-Kurve, and the plunge down through turn 10 now for the 20-year-old Brit, who is the defending Porsche Carrera Cup GB champion and will be part of the Super Cup challenge as well this season, which supports the Formula One Grand Prix, at least in Europe, one or two away days away from that as well. But I understand the next duty for Harry King is to head to the streets of Monaco for more race action in one of these brand new cup cars. And with a test day at Silverstone very recently, these two races in Austria and the races at Monaco, that will set him up very nicely indeed for the rest of the season. As far as the regular runners in the Benelux Championship are concerned, though, they're not too bothered about where he finishes, because Harry is not taking points away from the regular Benelux entries, as Dylan Dedala at least gets one place back again after that spin at turn three. No such worries just yet for any overheating on that car, which I'm delighted to see. And he got by Vantierendonk just then, who is a pro-am runner. But Dedala was very wide on the exit of turn one there. And I wondered whether the car might think about spinning around again. It was well held by Dylan Dedala, one of a couple of Belgian drivers from the Belgian racing squad indeed. His teammate is Nicolas Salens, who runs in third position in Pro-Am, behind the Pro-Am leader Floris Dulaert. Ziad Gerris is second in Pro-Am, and Nicolas Salens third. They are 9th, 10th and 11th in the overall standings. And the AM leader, you get no prizes for guessing that once again, is Jan Laurijsen in the 54 car, after Laurijsen had such a good race yesterday. He finished 6th overall in this very smart-looking dark metallic blue car, number 54, and that is your class AM leader. Starting to pressurise a little bit, Guylain Cordiel for 7th place in the number 2 car. The black and red, very similar livery to Xavier Masson, who runs in 3rd position. So, Huub van Eindhoven and Stefan van Rey running 4th and 5th respectively, still with Felix Neuhofer just behind. Neuhofer had got closer to these two green cars a handful of laps ago, but then he had that moment coming out of Rauch corner where he had to get out of the throttle for fear of the car being pitched to 45 degrees, and that's the last thing you want in a Carrera Cup 992 with a lot of the weight in the rear of the car. So the pendulum very quickly spins at the car out, and that's why Porsche Junior drivers are so crucial to the future of factory driving within Porsche, because if you have been born and bred in the Carrera Cup, then you know the dynamics and the vagaries, the intricacies of these cars and how they behave, and therefore adapting that to a modern day GT3 or GTE car even should be a much simpler process. Let's concentrate for a moment on the Pro-Am battle, not for the lead in that class, but for second position. So Ziad Gerris in the blue car is second, right in front of yesterday's Pro-Am winner, Nicolas Salens. His cousin David does plenty of racing as well, but Nicolas Salens has been racing Porsches for a number of years too. And that 97 car in the inverted livery compared to Dylan Dedala. So principally more silver than orange, whereas Dedala's the opposite, but they run out of the same awning for Belgium racing, and they head across the line now, second and third in Pro-Am, 10th and 11th overall. Careful not to touch too much the sausage curb on the exit of the Niki Lauda curver. If you catch it at just about the right angle, it can nerf your car back to the straight line, exactly as Dylan Dedala just did then, coming out of the first corner. So he's happy to allow the rear to just drift very slightly, and it gets knocked back into shape as he catches that sleeping policeman on the exit of the corner. Philip Toynkens now up the inside of, that's a 55, so that was Dominic Bastien for Speed Lover, I think, and he's just managed to get by. Andre Mukavoz further up the road, and Philip Toynkens is having to recover after he had a moment out of turn three and just slapped the barrier very slightly with the rear of his car as he spun across the grass. Ziad Gerris, Nicolas Salens, still separated by a little over 0.3 of a second as they duel it out for the final positions on the Pro-Am podium. And they have, joining the party in almost that police car type livery, Sebastian Freimuth, who heads out of turn 8 and over the rise. So the blue with the Dayglo yellow stripes for Sebastian Freimuth, running in the pro division, so should have enough pace to get through in his PG Motorsport prepared car. But the issue is, I suppose, Ziad and Nicholas are embroiled in their own pro-am battle. They're not necessarily going to create any space for Freimuth, so we will have to take that approach that rather gingerly. Now, Toinkens had got past not Dominic Bastian, in fact, but Ad Hertz in the number 11 car, so the all-white machine for the team PGZ entry. And Toinkens, having got by Hertz, isn't really able to build too much of a gap just yet. Hertz is doing well to stay on the back of the Pro-Am runner there, as the two green cars for Huub van Eindhoven and Steven van Rij arrive at Rauch corner together. And the second and third place fight for Pro-Am still very much in the company of Sebastian Freimuth, who is looking for maybe the hint of an inside line, the door being left open by Niklas Sahlens as he concentrates more on bagging himself second position in Pro-Am. Just a little bit off the apex there for Ziad Gerris, and he's struggling to get the car turned in at turn six as well. Sebastian Freimuth found the apex much more convincingly. And again, the 97 car looks a little more pointy for Niklas Sahlens as well. So is there a hint here that Ziad Gerris' car has used the best of its Michelin tyre in the early stages? Just looks like he's struggling to get the car turned in at the last few corners. That's better, though, at Jochen Rindt Curva. And ahead of Ziad Gerris, by the way, is Floris Dulaert, also for Team GP Extreme, another Pro-Am runner. In fact, that is the scrap. Here's the scrap for second position, and not very far away is the leader in Pro-Am. But there's going to be a change for second in this part of the race, as Niklas Sahlens got a very good run out of turn 10 on Ziad Gerris. And I think because Ziad is struggling a touch with where he's putting that car, now Sebastian Freimuth flashes the lights and says, I want to get by. I'm in a pro car, should be a bit further towards the front than this. But Freimuth, after the spin on the opening lap at turn 3, has had to turn this into a recovery drive. He leaves his braking very late indeed and gets up the inside of Ziad Gerris at turn 3. Now has to pull the car from one side of the road to the other in an effort to defend from the number 3 car in the sky blue colours. And Ziad Gerris, having been overtaken by Niklas Sahlens, is now in danger of losing touch with the number 97 car. Gerris falling to third position in Pro-Am, but the class is still led by car number 4, Floris Dulaert, running in ninth spot. So Sebastian Freimuth makes relatively short work of Ziad Gerris, and now will set his sights on the second placed Pro-Am car of Niklas Sahlens. Guylain Cordiel, I might have suggested this a moment or two ago, is now under an immense amount of pressure from Jan Lorijsen. Now, Lorijsen has the advantage of some anti-lock braking system on his car. ABS is permitted in the AM machines, so it means that Jan can smash that left-hand pedal far more than Guylain Cordiel can. A little bit more finesse required in the Pro-Am and the Pro cars, and Cordiel could well be picked off in the early part of the next lap. That won't change Cordiel's position within the pro category. He will stay seventh. But Lorijsen making his intentions felt here. Up the hill, through the kink at two, and then into the braking zone. And Lorijsen deliberately taking a very wide entry into turn three. It means he can cut back on the exit and get that crucial slingshot out of the right-hander at the top of the hill. And along what I call a straight, but actually there's two fairly significant kinks in it, and then it drops away off the edge of a cliff into Rauch corner as Lorijsen does get the place on Guylain Cordiel. That's an AM car overtaking a pro, but Cordiel isn't a big fan of that at all, so now we'll keep Lorijsen very honest indeed, heading through five, but into six. The blue car is on the inside, so he can take the position again. Cordiel, though, trying to get an overlap into seven, and got his front wheels just about level with the rears of the blue car, but couldn't make that work. And Jan Lorijsen now, with the advantage of ABS on that car, may be able to just build maybe a car or two's lengths between them. But still Lorijsen having to put the car right in the middle of the track as he approach Jochen Rindt Curva. And takes plenty of that red and white curbing on the exit of the bend as well. But now Lorijsen really does cement seventh place away from Guylain Cordiel in the number 2 pro car. couple of machines further back, it's nose to tail as Sebastian Freimuth now applies pressure on Niklas Sahlens and goes for the overtake, looking very strong indeed on the brakes for the last couple of laps, actually, Freimuth, and he makes that look easy to get by Belgian racer Niklas Sahlens. Very good overtake indeed, although Sahlens is trying to stay with him on the run into turn one, shadowing his every move as they head up the hill. And Sahlens might come back here. He does have the inside line, and the 97 will slot back into the position he just lost, which was 10th. So Sahlens 10th, still second in Pro-Am, and now the 31 car looking to return the favour. Really good racing this from Sebastian Freimuth. He was involved in a very similar battle yesterday with Dylan Dedala. Sadly, that ended in tears in the end for Freimuth, who spun at turn 10 all on his own, having caught far too much curb on the exit. And Freimuth, on the last lap, spinning and in the end fell significantly down the order. So Freimuth looking to finish his weekend far better than it started, and he has now got ahead of Niklas Sahlens and should be able to break the toe there. Ziad Gerrits, plenty of curb at turn 8 for the sky blue car. Not forgetting at all about Harry King, who leads the motor race and has the fastest lap to his name as well. It's a 131.959 that he did on lap 15. He's just completed lap 16, so we managed a good amount of laps yesterday, 20 from memory, and we should be in that sort of ballpark figure today as well, as Harry King now has a much better lead than he did yesterday, winning the race by just under 3 seconds on Saturday evening. Well, it's over 5 seconds on Sunday morning here at the Red Bull Ring. This the fourth race of the season for the Porsche Carrera Cup Benelux. One battle that isn't yet decided is that between Oop van Eindhoven and Steven van Rij in their PGZ and Team GP Elite cars respectively. Neither of them on the podium right now. Xavier Masson stands in their way, but the difficulty for both these cars is that they're about 6 seconds away from Masson now. So it's a battle for pride, really, and as many championship points as they can hoover up for fourth and fifth places right now. I don't think it's going to be any better than that for Oop van Eindhoven or Steven van Rij. And Felix Neuhoffer, having been really close a few laps ago in the 33 car, made a very slight error coming out of Rauch, and it's meant that the 33 car for the homeboy Neuhoffer is just a bit too distant in the sixth of six pro cars all locked together on the timing screen. The one interloper from a lower order class is still Jan Lorijzen in the AM 54 car for Q1 track racing. Then you've got a pro car Cordiel, the Pro-Am leader Floris Dulaert, who is high up as ninth place, and Sebastian Freimuth completing the top 10. 3 minutes to go. Harry King is in the middle sector currently and having to deal with a bit of traffic now as well. He's caught up with some of the tailenders in the AM division, so we'll need to be fairly careful as he works his way through. He's already managed to overtake Ad Hertz, who is 19th, and Dominic Bastian has also just been overtaken, who runs in the number 21 Speedlover car at the grand old age of 75. And I don't think Dominic Bastian has any plans to quit with racing in the next 3 to 5 years anyway. Loves being part of the Speedlover squad, who are a well-recognised Porsche team from Belgium, and they like to run in not only Carrera Cup sprint races but also in longer distance events as well, run by 24H series. And Speedlover have been race winners in 24-hour races in the past, so Dominic Bastian, a regular runner there, but now a lap down compared to this man, Harry King. 2 minutes left on the clock, so that is more than a lap time. We have started lap 19. I think it should be a 20 lap race, therefore, produced from the 30 minutes that was announced at the start of the race. We don't bolt on an extra lap, so it is 30 minutes and that's it. As now, will Oop van Eindhoven struggle to get the car stopped into turn one? Not quite. I thought he was too wide there and maybe wouldn't get the required retardation as he caught plenty of the curb coming into the Niki Lauda curver, but dealt with it well. And Oop van Eindhoven got a good exit speed out of turn one and up the hill. Floris Dulaert, Pro-Am leader, about to be caught and quite possibly overtaken by Sebastian Freimuth's pro car. More flashing of the lights from Freimuth then. making it look more like a car run by the Polizei in the blue and Daiglo yellow colours. A little further back is Niklas Sahlens, number 97, and then you've got Ziad Geris, who runs in the Pro-Am category as the third placed car. Track limit warning flags being shown to number 22, and 22 is the Duvo Racing entry for Andrei Mukovoz, maybe being caught out by some lappery being done by Harry King. The car running a touch wide, and more so than the stewards would like. Although, remember, the track limit system being run slightly differently from ELMS this weekend, in that the kerbs do count as the racetrack. So even if you get all four wheels over the white line, as long as you're on a kerb, that is permitted. On to the final lap for Harry King. So another 4.3 kilometres still to do for the 20-year-old British driver. And Nicholas van Tierendonk having a good scrap with Andrei Mukovoz. So Q1 track racing by EMG versus Duvo Racing. But Harry King is now at turn three for the final time. Moment or two ago, did he have an issue coming out of turn one? Well, four-wheel drifting his number 17 Porsche through turn one and again caught the sausage curb. But Sebastian Freimuth managed to get a good run there coming out of the final corner, and running wide at three is Steven van Rijn. Now, where is Felix Neuhofer? And could the sixth-placed car manage to get by the... Oh, there was contact. There was contact in the braking area for three between the 10 and the 72, scrapping over fourth position. And I just wonder whether Felix Neuhofer might be able to take advantage of that. Steven van Rijn arriving at turn three so quick, he's just set the absolute best first sector. But the main reason he did that was because he wasn't sufficiently on the brakes at the top of the hill. So no wonder he was quicker than everybody else. Couldn't then make the corner. Harry King, 6 seconds to the good, will make it 2 out of 2 this weekend as the guest entry to the Porsche Carrera Cup Benelux. No championship points, but that will not tarnish the hard work that Harry King has pulled off this weekend. Didn't have the ideal qualifying session with a couple of fourth places gleaned from that, but he's made amends in the races, and that's another victory for the number 17 car. Second place will go to Glenn van Parijs, but crucially, top championship point to the NGT racing car. Very close indeed at the line for Felix Neuhofer, who was right on the tailpipes there of Steven van Rijn at the finish, but it's fifth place in the end to the team GP Elite car, and PG Motorsport Felix Neuhofer having to make do with sixth place. Seventh position, and the AM winner is Jan Lorijzen, repeating that feat from yesterday. Didn't quite get the sixth place finish overall, but seventh is still. Massive credit to Jan Lorijzen, and a star perhaps to look out for in the future. He's still done relatively little motor racing, but many people's eyes are being opened up to the talents of the Q1 track racing car and driver Jan Lorijzen. To complete the podium in Pro, then, it's Xavier Masson in the number 9 car. He was 2 seconds adrift of Glenn van Parijs, but comfortably ahead of Oep van Hindhoven and Steven van Rijn, who complete the top five. The Pro-Am victory going the way of Floris Dulaert for Team GP Elite, number 4, ahead of Niklas Sahlens and Ziad Geris in another Team GP Elite car, number 3. So Dulaert, Sahlens, Geris are the podium positions for the Pro-Am category. And Harry King, who has borrowed, in fact, that car for the weekend, will, unfortunately for him, have to give it back, but he will have another machine to race at Monaco in a few weekends' time. And also some other Supercup races as well that he will be part of. It remains to be seen whether he'll do the full Super Cup season. That's certainly a hope of his, but the season has certainly started well after testing this car. These were the first competitive races that Harry has taken part in the new 992 generation of Carrera Cup car, and two wins looks very good on the CV indeed. Harry King, after 20 laps, victorious for Parker Revs Motorsport. The top points in the championship go to Glenn van Parijs for NGT Racing, and he finished 2 seconds ahead of Xavier Masson and Oep van Hindhoven, who complete the championship podium in Pro. The 54 car finishing 7th overall wins the AM category. Well done to Jan Lorijzen for his performance not only today but yesterday evening as well. Pro-AM winner Floris Dulaert for GP Elite. finishing 10th overall ahead of Niklas Salens, second in Pro-Am, and in third place in that category, Ziad Gerris. One non-finisher was the rapidly overheating Thierry Vermeulen car. Vermeulen showing really good speed in qualifying. He just couldn't translate that into the race yesterday and, of course, this morning as well. But 30 minutes of action-packed Porsche Carrera Cup Benelux racing got going at quarter to 10 this morning with a really good getaway for Sebastian Freimuth. He ran door-handle to door-handle with Dylan Dadala, and Harry King wasted no time at all, slotting up the inside at turn 1 to bag second position, although he rattled over the kerbs, I notice, on the exit there. And then he set off in pursuit of Glenn van Parijs. There was a spin for Sebastian Freimuth. Still not sure whether it was contact or cold tyres. I think he was given a helping hand into turn three. And a couple of laps later, Harry King judged this overtake to perfection to get himself into the race lead, and he really never looked back. Philip Toinkens couldn't hold on to his 55 car on the exit of turn one, and the Q1 track racing car rotated and smacked the barrier with the rear of the car. Thierry Vermeulen with a cooling issue, all the cooling in the front of the car, engine in the rear of course, but that steam would put an end to Vermeulen's race. Dylan Dadala ran far too wide at turn three as he was scrapping for third position with Xavier Massin. The rejoin was horrendous, bending some of the Armco barrier back there on the route out of turn three, and also a bit of bodywork quite possibly stripped from the car. Amazingly, Dylan Dadala did rejoin and was able to finish in 13th position, but clearly that car will not have been running as well as it did yesterday. Jan Lorijzen with a good move on Guylain Cordiel. Lorijzen was already in the AM lead, and he got ahead of Cordiel, who runs in a pro car. Sebastian Freimuth battling with the green car of Steven Van Rij, and Van Rij and the Oep van Eindhoven car finding each other at the top of turn three as well. Side by side contact between those two machines, which meant that Van Rij ran wide and had to carefully rejoin. Harry King, though, a solitary run as it turned out to be, with a 6 second advantage at the line, and the chequered flag waved over the 17 car as he zigzagged his way down the main straight. 6.4 seconds was the advantage. Harry also bagging himself the fastest lap of the race on lap 15, a 131.1. So he gets all the plaudits, very definitely. But Harry not committed to the full Carrera Cup Benelux season. We'll concentrate, therefore, much more on the Van Parijs, Massin and Van Eindhoven trio that finish first, second and third as far as the championship is concerned, with Van Rij just missing out. Felix Neuhoffer with the Austrian flag finishing in sixth place overall, ahead of Jan Lorijzen, Guylain Cordiel, Sebastian Freimuth and Floris Dulaert. Dulaert was the Pro-Am winner. Niklas Salens finished third, and Ziad Gerris will complete the podium in Pro-Am. Dylan Dadala's number 99 car had the speed to finish on the Pro podium, but he didn't have the luck as far as the race was concerned. So, unusually for the Belgium Racing entered car, finishing down in 13th position. Nicolas van Tierendonk 14th. André Mukavoz for the Luxembourgish team Duvo Racing in 15th. Wim Mulders did get to the finish today. He didn't quite make the 20th lap on Saturday evening, but much, much better fortunes for the number 20 car, finishing, I think, second in AM. Yes, he did. Mulders second, and in third position was Dominic Bastian.
So that... This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.